Rolene Marks, a very, very good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. Oi. One errant frog in the throat must have been left over from Yoma Atzmaot. I'm good and you. I tell you what a week it has been.
It really, I tell you, all around the world. I mean, Israel, we started off with the rockets on the weekend. Then it's Yom HaZikaron. I mean, then there's a peace treaty, a peace agreement. Then it's Yom HaZikaron. Then it's Yom HaAtzmaut. It's just completely insane. South Africa's been completely focused, of course, on the election. It's really unbelievable.
Absolutely. I tell you, if there's ever been a week to run the whole gamut of emotions, it was this. So, as we say, it's amazing what Israel can accomplish in one short week.
Yeah. So tell us about this. I mean, this is a paradox. The last week is almost a perfect example of the paradox of being an Israeli.
Okay, so let's unpack the week. So we started on Saturday morning from about 9:30 with this barrage of at least 700 rockets and mortars that were fired from the Gaza Strip into Israel. Now, we had threats from Islamic Jihad saying that they would do their utmost to disrupt and even to destroy the upcoming Eurovision contest. And, you know, it's not about the bad Euro trashy poppy music. It's about the fact that this puts Israel in the global arena. It puts Israel on the global stage, and that it will attract thousands, hundreds of thousands of tourists, of performers, of delegations who are coming to the country to enjoy the festivities. And over the 48 hours that they fired into the country, they killed 4 Israeli civilians, damaged countless property, and injured hundreds. In fact, Barzilai Hospital reported of at least 131 injuries due to these rocket attacks. And thank goodness we do have the Iron Dome system that managed to intercept most of these. And now I know there's been a lot of discussion this week about the Iron Dome and, you know, is it efficient enough? But the terror entities within the Gaza Strip were firing, you know, massive volleys at a time. So it takes Israel back to the drawing board to see how we deal with this new tactic. And then we have a tacit ceasefire, a ceasefire that Israel is not commenting on, because Netanyahu, no sooner had it been reported by the Palestinian media that there is a ceasefire, Israel said, or at least Netanyahu said, that operations in Gaza will continue. And also we saw Israel going back to using a tactic that we haven't used in a while, and that is targeted assassination, taking out one of the senior Hamas terrorists who are responsible for bringing in the money from Iran. And that, I think, sent a very, very harsh message to Hamas and Islamic Jihad, and that's that, you know what, this time we're going to fire on your property and we're going to fire on you personally. You know, thank goodness Israel managed to avoid as many civilian casualties as possible through pinpoint precise strikes. And then, of course, no sooner had that died down than Tuesday night the sirens rang in Yom HaZikaron, which is a day that we mourn as a nation. We come together, putting aside all our differences, to mourn as a nation for our fallen 23,741 soldiers, security officials, police, and our 3,150 victims of terror attacks. And, you know, it's an extraordinary day because, you know, to a bereaved family, they mourn every day. But a day like this is the nation's day of coming together and honoring and mourning. And I was chatting to a friend of mine, and we decided that whoever decided to put Yom HaZikaron and Yom HaAtzmaot together is an absolute genius, because you are so immersed in that mourning process, in that grieving process, that when the hours move on and it comes time to switch that switch and to celebrate Yom HaAtzmaut, you are so ready for it, not from a perspective of you're done with the mourning, but because you've honored them, that will never get to celebrate another Yom HaAtzmaut. So we celebrate for everybody. We celebrate for you in the diaspora. We celebrate for us here. And we celebrate for those who will never get to enjoy another celebration. And by the time we get to a day like today, we are, apart from being in an absolute food hangover and verstunkened of Allah Aish or Braai, you know, we're back at that, it's a full circle moment where we're back at that point where, you know, life carries on and so we continue.
Amazing. It's absolutely incredible to go through the week, this kind of a week. It's really, really insane. All right, so let's just talk about the IDF on Twitter, because this has become more and more significant in the type of wars that Israel is facing.
Well, you know, the IDF have been criticized in the past for not being quick enough when it comes to the other battlefield, and that is social media, and that is the court of public opinion. And I think over the last several conflagrations, they've understood more than anybody the importance of keeping people updated in real time, which they have become magnificent at. And it's also doing that is twofold. First of all, it informs people. And second of all, when there are allegations, and I know there's an allegation going around, I know it's being discussed in South Africa about the fact that did the IDF strike a school over the weekend, killing 15 school children. That is falling very, very fast into the arena of fake news, because we get reports all the time from the IDF. And should there be an incident of that kind, it would be investigated to its fullest by the military advocate general, because the IDF does have those mechanisms. They have to have those mechanisms, and they abide by a very, very strict code of ethics and conduct. But there are some that are saying, is the IDF becoming a bit snarky in their
approach, yeah.
In their tweets, in their approaches? I mean, some of their approaches are quite cheeky. Some say that they're using Jewish humor, and others are saying they're adapting and understanding the platform that they're dealing with very, very well. You know, one of the other examples that I can give is the Mossad parody account, which also uses humor and wit very cleverly to get their point across. I mean, apparently the IDF, the soldiers that are in the social media unit have dressed up as, you know, those troll dolls.
Yes.
They've dressed up as that to post a picture on social media to take a little bit of a jab at their trolls, which is, you know, it's
very interesting. I'd actually love your thoughts on it. 3451906189510119. And I'm not even talking, even if you haven't seen some of these IDF tweets, the question is this a direction that the IDF should be going in? Or do you expect, or would you want a defense force, the Israeli defense forces tweets to be more bland, informative, and sort of more updates? It's a very interesting question, and I would love your thoughts on it. Do you think it works that they're becoming a little cheeky, a little chutzpahdik, using chutzpah, which is the Hebrew word for cheekiness, I guess. I'd love your thoughts on that. Rolene, the other thing that, in fact, one of my listeners just asked us, Leslie just asked us, and in fact, you and I spoke about it earlier this week, and we both forgot to talk about it, was that fake news story that Netanyahu supposedly said that everybody was sharing. It was started off on WhatsApp. It could move to Facebook. What was that?
Okay, so apparently that was a letter written by somebody from Peru 5 years ago during the Gaza war. You know, that if Netanyahu was to give a speech to Ismail Haniyeh, this is possibly what he could say. Now, here I really urge people, and please take this seriously. I know today with social media, it's very, very tempting. You see something, you want to share it. I ask you please to do the following. Number one, consider the news source. consider where you get it, if it's real, and look, double check in the Israeli media. And there is English speaking media. You know, it's the little things. Like, first of all, Prime Minister Netanyahu didn't even address the Knesset the other day. When it comes to situations like this, he is, the only people he's addressing are his security cabinet and his generals.
And you can go to some news sources. You can go to Times of Israel. You can go to J-Post. You can go to Israel National News. There's enough places to go and see what is, what's really going on.
Double check, quadruple check. Do whatever you need to do, but make sure you always share news from reputable news sources. Always consider the effect that this could have on you as a community and us here in Israel, and especially when at a sensitive time. You know, also, don't tweet out or share on Facebook things about the army that doesn't come from the army themselves, because you put our troops and you put us in a very, very precarious and sometimes very dangerous position. Also, very importantly, when you see articles, people, please check the dates the articles were published. Several cases this week I saw people sharing on Facebook an article from The Washington Post saying that the UN appeals to Israel to share its iron domes. That was an event that occurred in 2014. Please, I'm begging you. I'm literally on my knees here, Howard. On my knees. And you know I'm short enough to not have to do that.
And quite dramatic as well. So therefore she must mean it.
I do mean it. Please, guys.
It's a very, very serious issue. When I saw that one about, there were the posters in London, which also were from sometime last year that people were sharing as though it happened over the weekend.
Please, guys, always double check your sources and double check your dates. Ask yourself the question, is it factual and is it harmful? Very, very important.
Right. And Unsigned says whoever wrote the letter is a great writer. Yeah, I think that's also one of the answers, is that people liked, whoever shared it liked the letter. So they just shared it. And that's a problem. Just because you like it doesn't mean that, that you should be sharing it. I think that is absolutely, it's absolutely vital. Just make sure you know your source. You know, you can't share fake news and then you can't complain about fake news, but share it at the same time when it suits your narrative. So I think that is absolutely important.
Very important, because there was another story doing the rounds today that was a parody about Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib. Please, guys, ask yourself, is this something that would happen? Or is this a parody?
The problem is that's becoming more and more difficult to determine in our news. Is it parody or is it real? Not a simple question to answer at all. It is 8 o'clock. Raleen Marks, you are not going to be talking to us next week because you are going to Australia to talk to Australians.
I'm going to Australia to talk to Australia. I don't know how I'm going to cope without speaking to you for 2 weeks, but I'll be back on the 29th, maybe with a change in my accent. Who knows? And I look forward to speaking to you guys then.
All right. Time is 8 o'clock. Fly well, be safe, and be very successful. Raleen Marks are talking to us from Israel. It has just gone 8 o'clock. Here is your news.